really to the Christian life, but had a very definite effect on fasting. Matthew 16, 24 to 26, Mark 8, 34 to 37, and Luke 9, 23 to 25. Because each of those repeats the same, almost exactly the same words. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. One of the times you find out what that means is when you fast, when you have to not eat. It shows you how well are you doing at denying self, taking up your cross, and following Christ. And when you see the irritation and the shortness and the difficulty and the struggle and the complaining that you might do, wow, is that a picture of your walk with God? Well, it's interesting to think about. And fasting's wonderful for that. But I really think there's some things I could talk about fasting. So let's talk about fasting. If you've got anything you'd like to share, do that at the very end. Because what we're dealing with right now is on the other side, journaling. And in this, we don't have any text at the beginning because there isn't any text. But I would like you to turn and write down on your note, if you have a pencil, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Incidentally, we're continuing with this book. We're continuing with, last time, fasting and journaling, the two chapters in this book. We put them together in one, and then I divided them again because I didn't get it done for the second one. So we're on the second one. Journaling from this book is the structure of the class. But look at 1 Corinthians 10:31. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Johnny, give the microphone to somebody who will read that aloud, even though... Who will read this aloud?
First Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God.
Thank you. Well, that's our desire with this Sunday school today. So let's pray and ask God to help us. Great God, we thank you for the privilege of gathering in this hour at this time. And we know we have many commands concerning gathering with your people and wonderful blessings promised as we do. And we look to you to fulfill those blessings to us today. Would you be with us and enable us this whole day, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, help us do it to the glory of Jesus. We pray your blessing that in this hour, something we do, we will do it to the glory of Christ. May he be exalted and may we be blessed in him. We ask for your blessing, and we are deeply thankful for your love to us. Jesus, thank you for loving us and giving yourself for us. Father, thank you for giving your Son. Holy Spirit, thank you for giving his eyes. We bless you, we worship you, and we ask your blessing in this hour upon this material. In Jesus' name, amen. We all know that text, maybe from the King James, but just say that text from heart. If it's a little different words, it doesn't matter. But let's all say it. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Let's try that again. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Well, that's a good background when you get to the question of journaling. But we don't have any text for journaling as such because God hasn't commanded it. And the book recognizes that fact. Anybody got a suggestion? Why is it God didn't command journaling? If it's a good spiritual discipline, why is it that God didn't command journaling? Not only not everybody could, almost nobody could. And that was until when? What year would it be? The rough year at which people began to think about being able to read and write. About what year, approximately? 1450, I would have said 1500, but it's right around that thing. Because that's when the printing press was invented. That's when people could get books. And that's when the question of education wasn't just for the rich people's children or the ruler's children or special children, but it began to be for everybody, that everyone could read and write because they could get something to read. And up to that time, God preserved his church without that. There were always those that could read, but most of us would have to sit by and listen while somebody was reading aloud so that we could get the information, because we couldn't read it. So for God to say journaling was required, how could he? We couldn't have a requirement of journaling. And yet people always have. And the few that could read back then did journals, among other things. Journaling is done. Well, some of you do journals. I know my mother used to do a journal, and now and again she'd call. I mean, she had a daily thing she wrote down, and now and again when we talk, she'd say, "What did you have for supper a year ago today?" She'd ask me. And I'd say, "Well, I don't have any idea." She said, "Pork chops and scalloped potatoes." And then a couple other things that happened, because she enjoyed that. And I think my brother ended up getting those journals, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's disposed of them, because they weren't written with a view to people reading them years after. If I get home to visit my brother, I want to see, do you have any journals? Let me have them. And I would like to take them, because she did that. Why did she do that? She wasn't a Christian. She wasn't with a thought to do all things to the glory of God. But there was something in her that liked to do that, that was fulfilling. And there are people here today, for whom that's true. You journal. Anybody offer their services to tell about journaling? Because you do it. You write things. You keep some kind of a record of what you do. Well, I've already told one person I'm gonna nail you for this, because there's one that I know does that, and I appreciate it very much. So would you bring the microphone, please, to Annette? And Annette, you don't need to you can't have a prepared message. I only told you 3 minutes ago. But you do journal, and you might just say, why do you do that?
Yeah, well, he told me 2 minutes ago, so I really quickly wrote down why I do that, so I can think.
I wrote it down.
I like to write, so I keep a journal. But it's changed a lot. I think I started out writing mostly about myself, just good things and frustrations, but I look back at that, and I didn't really think it was very beneficial. It just kind of stuck on me. So it's kind of changed over the years, and I kind of settled in with, I don't write every day, but I write consistently, and it seems like Mondays are a good day to reflect on what I learned in church. So I like to copy things, so if I write down a line of a hymn that we sang the day before, or one verse or one quote from something that was written in the bulletin, it's easy to go back, and that's manageable to think about that, or maybe write one line of a prayer asking God to help me to dwell on those things. So that seems a lot more beneficial than just on my life or frustration. Once in a while, I'll stick a picture in that, something that will remind me of God's beauty, and I'll just maybe turn out more like a scrapbook, because it's easy just to staple that in and look back at that and very quickly think of why I put that in there. The other thing is that I didn't know that God would use the journal in this way. I long to like write a book or something someday, and I have notes on that, but that doesn't seem like what he's had for me. But in his kindness to me, I ended up like writing about a special event that involved other people, like a wedding or something, or like the elderly people we've looked after, to write quotes that they've, things that they've said that interest me, and I wrote them down. And I've been able to pull those out of that journal and write them in letters to people, or read them at receptions or eulogies, and they have been to the glory of God. They've been things that nobody else might have thought to write down, and it's cheered people along. And so he did allow me to write, maybe not the way I wanted to, and maybe not in any way fancy or anything anybody else would recognize me for, but I'm really grateful for that. So,
well, and that may be an experience that some others have had. People take notes at sermons. What do you do with them? Well, you may just throw them away, or you may put them somewhere. But haven't you kind of got a journal of your experience at church? Now, there's some people that's very helpful. I know my wife writes notes. When I preach something that isn't able to be put into notes easily, she has a harder time. If I've got a structure, even if I have an intended structure that doesn't actually get fulfilled, she still is happier to have that, because she's a writer. She does that. How many of you people enjoyed or faithfully took notes in class when you were in school? did you enjoy taking notes, or did you sort of find it was a burden you had to do? You know, for me, I didn't take notes. I did not like to take notes. And in fact, in seminary, the night before a test, we got together, all the men got together, and it was almost all men, and the women weren't in the dorm anyway, so all got together, and everybody tossed out everything to each other that they had taken down in class, because Keener made us responsible for everything he had said in class the whole year. Everything was free game. One time he asked what was the date of his mother-in-law's birthday. He said it for a reason. And somebody got it down, and we drilled it, and I got the benefit of their notes as they're talking, and I'm, of course, listening and picking it all up. I benefited a lot. I would have a terrible time if it were depending on me, but it was depending on people who take notes. Did you take notes in school all the time, Craigo? Yeah. Did you do it because you had to, or did you really find that helpful? Well, that kind of thing just is what I think needs to be thought about with regard to journals. Because journals don't have to be daily things. They don't have to be things with pages, each page. My mom had pages for each day. It was amazing. She almost always put something down. And it was wonderful. And sometimes it was simply pork chops and scalloped potatoes. Or just something else. But then something would come and she'd tell me, do you know what happened a year ago today? And she'd have had down something I knew happened, wouldn't have been able to say when. Well, that kind of thing, some people are like that. Anybody else has that kind of writing things around? Any? If I don't even ask you to have to tell me about it, if you just say I have that sort of thing, Alex. Oh, okay, Joey.
I don't like to write, but I like to be thankful. And at the end of every day, I usually jot down about 5 or 6 things that were a blessing that day. And it's been neat to go back and just see, oh, wow, yeah, the Lord sent that along that day, and that was a blessing. So I suppose you could count that as journaling, but I would say I'm averse to journaling.
Well, I think you do that you ought to count that as journaling. After all, we don't have a necessary definition because it's not in the Bible. If it were in the Bible, you'd have to say, well, what does the Bible mean by that word? But it doesn't have that. And people have found it useful not because they are following a definition of what it is, but because some people like to write and like to record it. And we are very thankful that they do. Now, of course, there's jobs that have to have it. I mentioned a few things here. Who write down things in order to record them? Well, nurses do. They have to write down how the patient did this last 8 hours. And then the one that's coming on to replace them, if particularly intensive care, they sit down together in the room, and the one that was here on duty reads what they put down about the patient to the next one. And they do that, at least they did for me, in the room. So if I had anything saying, hey, that didn't happen, or something like that, it's obvious, this is what happened, this is what was done, and this is what the result is. Well, nurses have to do that. I would think they do it Williamsport because they have to. You have to write it down. And doctors, when you have a doctor's visit, does he have to write down what you had, what you did? Well, now he can bring it up on the internet, but he can say your whole history and all kinds of things about you because they had to be recorded. And sometimes they give you a paper when you leave the office, what you said to the doctor and what the doctor said to you. Is that a journal? Yeah, it's a journal. Doctors have thousands of them, or hundreds of them. However many people they've got, doctors, of course, have to do that. You can have a medical, what's the term called for the one that writes down, where's Chris? What's the one that writes down what the doctor said? Transcription, medical transcription. And what is that? That's keeping a journal for the doctor. Doing all that, if he's somebody that can sit in the office room. And some of them do that, it's amazing. I was astounded by it. But they get what's going on. It's a journal. Well, that's very useful, and if you like to do journals, what a blessing it is. But that is a kind of journaling. Housewives Well, some people have a record of who was a guest at our house. How many people came on such and such a day, and who was there, and what did we eat? And they just like to keep record of guests. We went to Arizona, and we're with the Rotmans, Sam and Debbie Rotman, who have a wonderful pontoon boat that makes its way out and back through this amazing canyon, which was once just a canyon, but now it's a reservoir, so it's filled with water. Gorgeous. But she did have on her thing, we were the 1,760th guest, or something like that. I mean, enormous number of people, because they believe that what they've got is given them by God to richly enjoy, but very much to share for the encouragement of his people. And so they record and make it a point not to pride themselves on how hospitable they've been, but to remember and to give glory to God in being able to share what they've got. And if you've got something like that to share, it's wonderful. And you keep a record of it not to gain points with God, but just to glorify God for the pleasure it's been to share the things that he's given to you. Well, that was her journal, and not altogether sure how many details there were in it. If she had left it open, I would have tried to glance at what she thought about Cindy and me, but she didn't leave it open, and I couldn't. I mean, they were very friendly, and I'm sure they like us. But anyway, what foibles did they observe in us that might have been worth recording? That would have been interesting, at least. Well, truckers, you know, if you know any truckers, they've got to. They're held responsible. They have to be able to write down how long they've driven and when they rest. And they must rest at certain intervals. You can't just go on and on and on unless you want to fake the report, because there are particular restrictions that they do have to fulfill, and that means journaling. They've got to do it. Maybe there's quick ways to do it, but you've got to do journaling if you're a trucker. Annette mentioned scrapbook, and she mentioned sometimes it becomes like a scrapbook. But any of you scrapbookers, anybody who'd like to do scrapbooks? Have you ever been to a party with scrapbook material? There are whole groups of people that love scrapbooking. But when you put together photos in a scrapbook, isn't that a journal? Isn't that an attempt to put things together, record them? Well, that's something people like to do. And it is like a journal. I have, actually, Pastor put some of them in the, unbeknownst to me, put some of them in the bulletin today, but some thoughts for the day from our website. There's thoughts from the pastor. Well, now I don't mind anybody reading them, but don't be too critical, because it isn't that I take a lot of time to carefully work very hard through it, but that is a matter of every day. There's an entry of 150 words. My own private game is not 149 words and not 151 words. 150 words, and it needs to be on probably an obscure text. The way I do it at this point, there's no reason, but the way I do it right now, I'm doing it on whatever book it is, chapter 2 and verse 10. Any book, chapter 2 and verse 10. Thing for 66 times is going to be chapter 2 and verse 10, unless the book doesn't have two chapters, in which case I come as close as I can. But why do I do that? Well, the thing is, because the thing's on the website, so put something there. But also, it's a challenge for me. It's not that I don't like to write, and it's an opportunity to hit a challenge. When Shakespeare wrote sonnets, there are 14 lines, 5 beats to every line. Every other line rhymes, except the last two, which rhyme with each other. That's the pattern. He wrote about 130, 140 of them. 14 lines. Every line has 5 beats, and every other line rhymes until the last two, which rhyme together, in order to complete it. Well, that was his challenge. This is what I'm going to do. And wrote many of them, but 150 at least, something like that remain. There's other styles of sonnets which are a challenge in writing, which is fun. Why? Because some people have that in them. You don't have to feel guilty if you don't. Everybody doesn't have to be a journalist by any means. Some people just, that would be a chore. You have to write anything for school, and it just, you have all kinds of anxiety over it. You force yourself. You don't sit down and write it because you enjoy writing it. People are different. I remember, this isn't connected, but I remember Piper mentioning something about missions and how there's a certain percentage of your church that are really going to have a vision for missions. Now, all of us have a vision for missions. All of us want to see the gospel extended. But there's some for whom that's a burning desire. And I think he rated it at 10% really feel that pressure more than the others. They all feel it, but some, it's more upon their heart. And of course, there's the ones, he would say, of give them the job of contact with missionaries and sharing news and so on, because their heart is in it. Well, some people journal. Your heart's in it because that's the way you're built. And as far as the thing that I do is not meant as a journal exactly, but it is an interesting challenge, and it's fun. And it also gives me a chance to be exposed to the Bible. My pattern is choose a verse, number, and do that verse for the whole Bible. So there's 66, chapter 2 and verse 10 messages by the end of the time I've done. And then I'll make another choice. I'm thinking the next phase, I'm just going into Matthew, so that the next phase will probably be the last verse in every book. So make that the verse, last verse in every book. And that would be the challenge. Now, is everyone equally full of resplendent truth? Well, they're all true, and they all have something to do with Christ, because every word in the Bible has something to do with Christ. So that's the challenge. Well, I enjoy doing that. Does that mean you ought to spend your time looking? Well, if you glanced at it, it wouldn't hurt you any, but probably you'll find, since nobody proofreads it, probably you'll find that there are little blunders here and there, and non sequiturs and all those things. But it's just another way of, I realize that's journaling. It's a different kind of thing for a different kind of reason. But those are the things that especially came to mind in thinking about journaling. And I think they touch all our lives in one way or the other. We have some contact with somebody who does journaling of some kind. And it seems to me God didn't command it in order for it to free those for whom this is not a particular joy. It is a particular joy for some, and I'm very glad to be able to do it. I have got it worked out that I can take a laptop and keep doing things on my vacation, which starts right after the morning service. I'm going to take something with me so I can keep up, but not because I have to. I will get ahead, I think, for some things. But there's something that I like to do. But I also started on the internet. I did, or on my computer. I started a journal just when I knew I had to speak on this, and I tried to keep a journal. I couldn't do it. I just couldn't put a thing for every date and say, I couldn't do it. Just couldn't keep it up. But the other I can keep up because I feel there's a push to do that. And yes, ma'am. Oh, yeah, let's get the recording. This is not just so we can hear, incidentally. This is so that the recording, if anyone listens to the Sunday school class, they can hear everything that was said.
I'm not a daily journaler. I try to teach my children in second grade to journal, but we're sporadic, but I'm a sporadic journaler also. When I hear you talk about journaling and having joy in that, journaling for me, when I've done it in my life, has not been joy, it's been a release. I've journaled several times when I've gone through very difficult periods, and I think the Lord has used that in my life. They're very personal. I don't have anyone else read them. I would never share them on the internet, but they're between me and the Lord. Some of them I think I've even just gotten rid of. But they've been a release, and it's been an opportunity for me to express some deep things to God. And I feel like why he's done that sometimes, it reminds me of things that he's brought me through. It makes me think of how he tells his people all the time, remember when I did this, remember when I brought you through this, remember these difficulties. In some ways, this is sort of bearing my soul, but I thought, I always wanted to write a book. And and I would call it The Foolish in the Week, and it would be about me and how ridiculous I've been in my life and how faithless that I've been and how I've failed, but how God has pulled me through. But again, I'm not willing to share all those personal things, but for me, it's not a joy, but God has used it in my life, but that's a very different way.
That's wonderful. Any other things to share in terms of that bear to mind? Yes, Jeannie, guys.
I was took by sporadic journaling. That's exactly what I would call myself. And sometimes it's been very similar as far as being a release, just because sometimes in prayer, and so some of my journals are prayer journals, because if I sit down to pray, I get distracted and I can't focus. But if I'm writing it out, I have to focus. So they've been a blessing to look back on in that way, just to see again what God has done. And then other times when I've thought, okay, I'm going to sit down and actually study my Bible and, you know, do this daily, I'll get about a week and then it'll fizzle out as usual. But in those times, even that, I think journaling for me, it just helps to push away the distractions, because if I'm writing about a certain chapter or certain verse, I can't get distracted by another list that's going on in my head. I'm focused on writing about that. So that's been a blessing too. And it's also a reminder in the sporadic part of just how weak and how fickle I am. Because again, my goal is I'm going to sit down and study a passage and write about it. And you know, again, I'll get through a week or so, and then I'll come back to my journal like a month later. I'm like, oh man, I failed again. But God is so gracious, because it doesn't matter how often I fail, He's still pulling me along.
Amen. That's wonderful. Wonderful. Other things that brought to mind? Yes.
I do journal. I'm a writer. I'm always writing. I have tablets and stuff all over the house. But one thing that I have found to be helpful is I write out particular prayer requests, if they're really serious prayer requests. And then when I see them answered, I take one of those markers that you underline with, or the blobby things.
Highlighters.
And I put it there so that if I'm ever discouraged or anything, I can leaf back a few pages and see all the blobs that are there. And it's comforting to see the answers to the prayers.
That's neat. Thank you for sharing that. That makes some of you wish you'd done that, because you have heard God. God has heard your prayers. And I don't think we ought to kick ourselves and say, well, we should have done that. A good Christian will do that. That's why the whole material is not presented in the way of a good Christian does this. No, if you're a Christian that journals, this is how you journal. But that makes you, you know, you mentioned, well, and also Jeannie mentioning the difficult times and Rose, the transition year between where I ministered before in Hazleton and here was the worst prolonged year in our life in many ways, where we didn't even know how to pray. We knew how to kneel at the sofa, and really it was more blubbering than praying, but very difficult. But we didn't, we believed God. And I remember talking to Cindy and saying, we need to write these things down because God's going to help us. He will do that. Didn't have any question that God would do it. We need to write them down in order that we can have a record of the faithfulness of God. And I thought that'd be a wonderful thing for us to do. Do you think we did it? No. We're too discouraged. Couldn't bring ourselves to do it because of whatever interest I have, I can do so. Well, obviously my own journaling is a little detached and not really, I mean, they're personal things, but it's not the kind of thing that gets at the heart of your life and opens up your soul in that way. couldn't do that. I don't open my soul that easily. Well, it's not, some people just are more open than others, and different ways of thinking. And so I would like to be able to look back, and see the anguish and the concern, and then the wonderful way God's answered would be such an encouragement. We'd so rejoice in those things. Well, now we remember God's faithfulness, but it's a little hazy how difficult it was and why it was so difficult. So we kind of wish we had, but we didn't. And I don't feel guilty for not doing it. I just feel it's a loss. I'd like to have done that. And I think probably the things people have shared, you felt too. I'd like to have done that. That would have been good if I'd been inclined in that way. But you ought not to kick yourself and say, you call yourself a Christian, why don't you do that? Wait a minute. It isn't Christian. It's personality. It's gifts. It's what God's enabled you to do. Well, I looked at the question, the thought for the day, and professional journalists, there are people that journal all the time. Usually they have if they're published, they have a little essay stuck somewhere in a magazine, and that's their place for that. And they have their observations on the condition of the world from their point of view. There are professional people that do that. Others that don't get credit because their name's not on the thing, but they journal. Reporter journals. Finds out the information of some circumstance and writes it out. There's got to be somebody who puts it on paper. The newscasters who give the news, the anchormen, they don't come up with it here. They come up with it there on the computer. There's what is invisible computer, but there you are. What do they call the thing you're looking at? Teleprompter. On the teleprompter. Well, somebody put it on the teleprompter, and probably a writer. And when you've got the people in the news thing saying the same thing over and over again with slightly different words, who's making it different words? Journalists who are changing the words a little bit, making it sound a little bit different, but saying the same thing over and over again. Somebody's got to write all that stuff, because they don't just get up and talk off the top of their head, unless they're Rush Limbaugh or a few other people that talk off the top of their head and never feel sorry for it. It's too bad, because they ought to be sorry for what they said sometimes. But normally people are reading what was written for them. And if you're in showbiz, you read what was written for you. Who writes it? Somebody with that gift. And the person that's reading it as the austere anchorman might be really at a loss if he's asked to speak off the top of his head, because he's not as smart as he sounds. And somebody's got better organizing, better journalistic skills than he's got. So you see journaling all the time. But we all have a favorite journalist. And I put it blank there, our favorite journalist. Everybody, well, somebody tell me, who is our favorite journalist? Oh, come on, we've all got the same favorite journalist. Who? Well, no, Paul, okay, Paul, yes. Yes, and I'm not looking in that category. A person alive today who's the journalist. And you love him. And you so appreciate what he does with his gift. His initials are TK.
Check a Z.
Kesey. What does he do all the time? He journals. He's got pictures of him journaling. Everywhere he goes, he journals. Are you glad he journals? He turns that journal into a report that is such a blessing to our souls. We love to see them. When we hear he's out with a new one, we're looking forward to a time when we can get them in. And if you haven't seen some of them, then borrow the copy and see them. We've got them. We've got them available if you'd like to see some of the other dispatches from the front. What's he doing? He's a journalist. But he goes to a place and he uses his gift to journal. And he even states and so on the things he does and people that he saw and the things they ate. Puts them all out. And now and again, and he always has him sitting there somewhere journaling. He's always got that. Everyone we see has some sign, some picture, some shot of him journaling. Well, that's what he does with his gift. And isn't it wonderful what he does with his gift? Isn't it amazing that he has the courage to pursue things worth writing about in the vein that he desires and uncovers them and records them and then locks that into all the other people that are involved in making it into a movie. Movie takes 100 people. Movies never are made by one person. If you sit and watch the credits at the end of any movie, there's 100 names of people, some of them doing things. I still have to look up, what does a grip do? They've always got a grip there, and I've got to find out because I keep forgetting. Anybody know what a grip does, making a movie? I've got to look that up. Because they always have that. It's one of the things done for making movies. But they're costume designers, and there's wardrobe things, and there's this and that and the other thing. Every movie has 100 people that work on it. Not just the stars. There are a few handful of stars. Just look down the credits of any movie, and you see that it's a great deal to do with. There's a great deal done to get a thing into onto the screen. And the jobs are amazing, and every one of those people was paid to do what they did. This is not a volunteer project. Every single one in those 100 that you go through was paid. Who collected? Who managed the budget to pay all those people for the work? And who got the money up? The producer gets the money together. That's the thing. The director directs the making of the writers that are involved. But director's most important in the actual production, the actual doing of it. But producers are most important because you can't do it without money. And so they get the money that makes it happen. But you love it when you watch the fruit of Tim Kesey's journaling. And there may not be 100 people involved in his. I think that's a rather smaller scale. But still, there's always a lot of people doing stuff that just busy work that's needed to get it done. In any case, there's our favorite journals. Is that right? Or there's somebody else that immediately says, oh, no, I like him, but I like somebody else better? Or am I right in saying we all like Tim Kesey the best? If there's any objections, I'll be glad to find out who is this person that's better than Tim Kesey. I would like to know. So if you've got somebody, you can present. But I'm bold to say he's our favorite. He is a wonderful journalist. And he turns that journalism into something that ministers to our soul. Annette mentioned her journaling. She'd like it to be something that ministers to the soul of any that would read it, right? Rose mentioned, no, it can't be there yet. And whether in her book, if it ever comes, she can transform it into something that ministers to the soul of those who hear. That would be your desire. You'd like to journal like Tim Kesey, wouldn't you? Like to have the gifts and the ability to observe and then the opportunity. Well, you have the opportunity of writing it. One of my problems is once I've written it, I can't read my own writing. So I would have to do it on the computer. In any case, if we look at that and say journaling is not, I think we have to say, first of all, journaling is not required. God did not require it. There always have been people who had the gift for it, and they always found a way. People that had the gift for it found a way to learn to read and write, and found a way to get to books in order to read them. That's what, through history, those who had the gift found a way. And people do find a way. But when you do go in that direction, and when you do write, I think Tim Kesey is a wonderful role model for us. Can we make our journaling minister to the souls, to our own soul? He does it not just for us, but for himself. Can we make our journaling that? And then could it be turned into something that blesses others? I think those are questions that come under the subject of journaling. And that's why I was excited to do journaling, even though, I left it. Anything anybody else doesn't want to do, I'll do. And it turned out I did fasting and journaling and enjoyed the time. The one more thing, I was going to do one more thing with regard to fasting before we close. We don't even have time for that. So no, we're going to say that's complete, and someone will go on with the next chapter next time. But we can think about these things and tell me if you have something to say that didn't get a chance. I've been quite excited by it and looking at it. The Lord is good. The Lord has wonderfully blessed us. Would that everything would be, everything is recorded. There's a display of our life that's going to be given to us, and how much of every deed's brought before. They're overjudged for the things good and bad. How is it God's going to display the whole thing? We're going to see it. What a wonderful thing if it's a glorious story to the glory of Christ. Well, may our lives be that, so that journaled, they would be a blessing to others. And may we appreciate the testimony of people's lives. Yes, sir.
I think when I've gone through spiritual disciplines books before, is that you're always aware of how far you fall short of, you know, Bible reading and meditation and prayer and how you need to work on those things to be even better. And it's easier, it's always been easier for me to say, well, I'll try journaling, but, you know, if I don't do that, yeah, it's not something that I have to do. And so it's been easy to kind of just brush that one aside. But I appreciated the lists he gave in the chapter, like for reasons to do it, similar to Bible memorization. This isn't just something we're doing, you know, so that when we memorize the Bible, we can have all this stuff at the tip of our tongue and be able to effectively evangelize. I mean, that it's a great benefit of it, but it's also to encourage our hearts today. And he gave a couple of those things, you know, the reasons for journaling are similar. Like, we're doing this to bring ourselves closer to God today, like examining and meditating and, you know, disentangling our thoughts and just the encouragement of why that's good for you. And then he gave, like, I appreciate lists, obviously, but he gave lists then of, you know, easy ways that, you know, maybe it's a sentence a day you decide to do. You're just going to write down a verse or a thought, like one sentence, which seems a little bit more reasonable for people like me who don't like to write either. You know, and he mentioned other things, like, well, you know, maybe it's just I'm going to do it once a week or whatever it is, and just say I'm going to take a little bit of time and I'm not going to worry about anybody else reading this, and like, well, maybe my kids will read this after I'm dead or something. He's like, you know, it could just be between you and God. Like, this is, you don't have to worry, you know, is somebody else going to read my failing that I'm writing down here or whatever it may be. And that, so I really appreciated those lists he gave just as an encouragement to do it and then ways to help you get started and to do it. Like, it doesn't have to be this big, huge drawn out process.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And those things are valuable. You look back over the chapter and a lot of things. I think as you read it, you'll see things that came in, people's testimony, other things that sort of fit in there and show that there are people that have ordered that at their death, their journals all be burned. And people haven't burned them. And we're very glad that they didn't. Some journals, the person doing it was too personal. Well, anyway, another picture. We need to change gears for the service to come and look to the Lord to help. Leon, will you pray for us as we would change gears and go to worship?
Our gracious Father, we thank you so much for your love to us. Thank you that you gave us your word. Thank you that we can read it freely in this country. Thank you for the many benefits that we receive from your word. But most of all, we're thankful for our Savior, the Lord Jesus. We ask that you would give us hearts to love you more, to serve you better. Pray that you would continue to teach us from your word day by day. And as we have opportunity now to gather to worship you, we pray that you would tune our hearts to sing your praise, that you would encourage us from your word, that you would strengthen us in our faith, help us to love you and to serve you better. We ask in Jesus' name.